You're listening to The Shonaki. This week's episode, Flinchy and the Mexican Show Truck.
Episode 2 by Patrick McLean and P.G. Holyfield, featuring T. Morris as Flinchy.
So where were we?
Second hole. And you were in a golf cart with a fugitive, racing down the fairway, fleeing the scene of a hit and run on your way to a score of 4 over par.
Hey, you were right behind me.
Right behind you in the fairway?
Yeah, well.
And up to this point, I have to admit, it was pretty funny. Until the Mexican show truck drove out onto the golf course.
Yeah, that was a little nuts. Nemesis. The forces of retribution were coming for Finchy, decked out in all their aftermarket auto parts glory.
And the truck would have gotten us right there and then, except for the bridge.
Yeah, there was a stream cutting across the golf course, and the bridge for the golf carts was too small for the Mexican show truck to cross over.
And the gully was too deep for it to go through.
Anyway, Finchy is white as a sheet, and all the while, there's the truck on the other side of this little creek. Finchy turns around and yells,
"Well, I'm sorry!"
And the truck drives away. But not back to the road. It idles off down the first fairway, which was disconcerting, to say the least, and most of all, to Finchy.
He had the nerve to ask me where he should take his drop.
I don't get to see PG angry very often. He's a professional on the golf course.
I am not.
Dude, you've got your name stitched into your bag.
So?
Anyway, when you hit a ball out of bounds...
And oncoming traffic is always out of bounds.
You have to take stroke and distance.
Which means that Flinchy has to go all the way back to the tee and hit again.
It's a cruel game.
But you can see, there's no way he's crossing that stream.
There'd be monsters. But I wasn't afraid.
You ran into the woods.
I was looking for my ball.
Uh-huh.
I thought we were playing ready golf. So we finished out the hole.
Par.
9.
And Flinchy called out.
Bogey.
There's no way he had a bogey.
Bogey!
First of all, he should have taken an X with his illegal drop. But with the out of bounds, it was at least a Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe?
7.
7?
7. The 7-year itch.
Okay. On the next tee, I could see that Flinchy was rattled. So I tried to comfort him as best I could.
Hey, Flinchy, you want to get a bet going? You know, liven up the round a little bit.
He went white as a sheet. I thought he was terrified of my golfing prowess. But it was 2 pros from the clubhouse with a distraught Hispanic woman.
And the pros did a pretty good job of handling it.
I thought so, too. They explained that whoever hit the ball, it was covered by auto insurance. And Finchy's insurance company and the woman's insurance company would work it out, no big deal. Happened more than you thought.
But Flinchy wouldn't own up to it. And it was none of my business. He was Patrick's friend, and I was in the other cart.
Yeah, well, golf is a funny game. It's the only game where a player is required to call penalties on themselves. Which means, unless you're in a tournament or there's a bet, you pretty much let the other guy go his own way. Everybody's got to play their own bad shots. In volleyball, you can bail your buddy out, but golf is existential in its despair.
What does that even mean?
It means the responsibility lay with Flinchy. It was his ball. He had to play it.
But he took his time about it.
It was awkward. He tried lying about it, but eventually he owned up to it. They exchanged information, although I'm not too sure the woman fully understood what was going on.
I think she wanted cash.
Hey, who doesn't? But my cash was all tied up in investment gambling.
She smelled like peyote.
How do you know what peyote smells like?
And the pros guided her back to her cart. She looked at all of us and said,
"Apeku, apeku, apeku." It must have been some ancient Mayan curse.
Come off it. She was probably just telling us to go to hell.
Which is a curse.
Whatever.
Well, it would explain a lot about what happened next. So a few weeks pass, as they do, in a blur. The rains have come and we haven't had much of a chance to play golf.
So you're saying that what happened next was nothing?
It's a suspenseful pause in the action.
Nothing happened. Real tension builder there.
And then one night, after a round of golf, we decide to go out to dinner.
My wife met us for dinner.
Wonderful woman. One wonders how she ever became burdened with the scintillating P.G. Holyfield.
I tell it like it is.
You write fiction.
So what? I tell it like it is.
So where'd we go for dinner, Mr. Tell It Like It Is?
A restaurant.
What kind of a restaurant?
We went to a Mexican restaurant.
And what was the name of this restaurant?
Azteca.
And why, so soon after our brush with the Mayan show truck of certain and inalterable doom, did we go to a Mexican restaurant?
My wife wanted Mexican food. Look, it was just a coincidence.
Coincidence? I think not.
It was a total coincidence. And so was running into your friend, Flinchy.
Finchy.
Whatever. The nickname never made sense to me. But why was he there? Total coincidence.
Not coincidence. Fate.
Well, fate is pretty obnoxious. And so is your friend, Flinchy.
Hey, guys, what's going on? The fiesta time, huh?
Hey, Finchy, it's good to see you.
Hello.
Aren't you going to introduce me to your special lady friend?
Okay. Liza, this is Flinchy.
Finchy.
Does it really matter?
Hi.
So, Finchy, you been playing any golf?
No, not since that thing with the truck.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened with that?
Oh, man, you'll never believe it. I totally got away with it.
Got away with it?
Yeah. I mean, I gave her my insurance information, and she scrawled something on a piece of paper. Turns out it was bogus. She didn't even have insurance at all. Serves her right.
Serves her right for what?
He lied about his score.
For driving without insurance.
Yeah, but you hit a golf ball into her windshield.
Hmm. Serves her right.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you, too.
She's asking you to leave, Flinchy.
And with that, Finchy slunk back to the bar. And we told the whole story to Liza. And she got all of it. The bit about the way a person plays golf being a good indicator of their character.
She does not suffer fools. Or people that cheat at golf, and she understood instinctively that you're not a very good golfer.
Better golfer than Finchy.
Yeah.
The only part she had trouble with was the idea of the Mexican show truck.
I don't get it. What makes it a show truck?
It's showy.
How?
It's kind of like a show dog. People love them, go crazy over them.
Oh, you mean like that truck. Is that a Mexican show truck?
Except that it wasn't a... It was the, capital the, fate, nemesis, Finchy's black destiny.
It was the same show truck from the golf course, and it was yellow.
Yeah, but it's a symbol, a menacing symbol.
If it was a story, it would be a symbol, but this really happened, so it's a truck, a menacing truck, a menacing yellow truck.
Just then, Finchy came over and said,
"Oh my God, it's them. You gotta help me."
Look at the time. We've gotta go. Looks like you're buying a windshield, buddy. Check, please.
That was sarcasm.
Please, hide me. Help me.
See, he's really not your buddy.
What about you?
Sorry, pal.
It was nice to meet you.
Hey, what's that song? I've heard it somewhere before.
I always wanted to be in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
No, this is De Guayo. The cutthroat song.
I'd be the good in this if you haven't figured that out.
It's the same song that Santa Anna played for the men who were trapped in the Alamo.
Glory boy here, he'd probably be the bad.
What he meant was he was granting no quarter.
I think you can figure out the ugly. I'm just saying.
And just as I realized this, just as we were about to step out the door, Finchy said,
"You know, they know what you look like. They probably think you're in on it."
I didn't like Flinchy, but he was right. So then...
No.
What? No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You are a cliffhangering bastard.
Guilty as charged.